This afternoon, I'd like to read with you from the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 17, we're going to take up a reading there in verse 22, which introduces an idea that we're going to study for a little while this afternoon. The Bible says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as you are the offspring of God, you ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." While the Apostle Paul is here in Athens waiting for Silas and Timothy to catch up with him, the Bible teaches us that his spirit was stirred within him. Seeing the idolatry of that city, Paul began to dispute with Epicureans and Stoics alike. And the Bible tells us that one day they bring him here to Mars Hill. And there the apostle begins to explain to them someone that they'd never known before. He points out that they are worshiping a god that they did not know, with a particular shrine that was inscribed to the unknown God. The apostle Paul here pointed out that God does not live in temples. They believed their gods were nourished by the offerings that they gave to them. He points out that their God, that the God of heaven, had created all men of one blood, and therefore he was not, if you will, once a man or a deified man. He was not something created by man, for it was he who created man. He points out that it was God who had outlined the bounds of man's habitation, and therefore, being a divine heritage, that they should not liken him to the work of man's hands. But the greatest reason the apostle pointed out that they should worship this God was because of judgment. One day, this God, unlike their false deities, was going to call and is going to call all men to judgment. And very briefly this afternoon, I want to talk to you about the judgment day and what the Bible has to say about it. First of all, the Bible speaks explicitly about a day of accountability. The idea of the judgment day is spoken of over and over again. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that judgment is as certain as death. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the scripture says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Yes, my friends, the fact of the matter is, when a person leaves this life, his next appointment is the judgment day. You know, a sign of our Bible ignorance today is eked out in the stories we hear of people who talk about things that happened to them. There was a time not so long ago that we believed in a near-death experience, that someone had an experience that was hard to believe, but it was something that actually they saw or they felt or they understood, and they said it was a near-death experience. I dreamed or I had this experience that I died. But you know, people don't do that anymore. Now when people have that experience, they say, "You know what? I died. Doctors had me on the operating table and I just got this funny feeling and I drifted up out of my body and I hovered in the room for a little while and watched them working on me, and I went out to Vegas and I met Elvis, and after a little while I settled back down in my body and here I am." A few years ago we understood a divine principle. You only die once. Once a man passes from his life, this life, the next appointment is judgment. There are no 90 minutes in heaven or 90 minutes in hell, and then you come back and make $1 million writing a best-selling book. It doesn't work that way. When a person passes from this life, his next appointment is the judgment. In Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, the scripture says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let not thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and into the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." The wise man of old said for a man to live, that he should enjoy life and that he should live this life. But he also points out this: there's going to be a day when God shall judge all men. Men are going to be brought into accountability before the Lord. And the scripture tells us there's an appointed day, an appointed time, a time already decided by God. In Acts 17 and verse 30 he says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." The simple fact of the matter is, God has appointed a judgment day. He has appointed that one day men will be judged, and decided the day that that will happen. You know, there's a theory today that man right now is living out his judgment, and then when he dies, he goes straight to heaven or straight to hell. Well, that's not what the scripture teaches. The scripture teaches that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Well, what is that? 2 Timothy 4 and 1 says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." And so here's what I know. When Jesus Christ shall return, there's going to be a judgment day. When Jesus Christ shall come again, then will all men be judged for the life that they've lived. And as we noted earlier in the meeting, judgment day is not about figuring out whether you get to go to heaven or not. It's not going to be a big reveal, whether it's revealed that you're going to be saved and ultimately go to heaven. But really, judgment day is about accountability. It's the opportunity to stand before God and account for the life that we live. Romans 14 and verse 10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess." Notice what he says. We're all going to be judged. Verse 12, he says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." What a soul-stirring thought to know that one day we're going to explain the whole of our lives. Our life is going to be held up against God's divine word, and we're going to account for what we have done. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, the apostle says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who should give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." And so here's what we know. Every individual shall stand before the Lord in judgment. Now that's a scary thought, to think that you'll stand before Jesus Christ himself to account for your life. But understand, you'll do that alone. Mama's not going to be there to plead your case, or Meemaw or Papaw or that favorite aunt of yours is not going to be there to explain to the Lord why you lived like you lived or why you did what you did. You're going to be there alone with Christ to explain the whole of your life. But I note this as well. The Bible teaches us that every secret thing shall be known. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter and fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." There is universal truth about man that we seldom like to admit, and that is the fact that every man has his secrets. I'll assure you today, you do not know your husband or your wife as well as you think you do. You do not know your children as well as you think you do. Because you know as well as I, there are some thoughts, there may be some things, there may be some things that you've been involved in that nobody else knows about but you. And there are some of those things that you wish not to speak of in your life. You know why that is? Everybody has their secrets. Well, the Lord knows about that. And one day those secret things are going to be laid bare in the light of His Word. For some of us, there are things that we're able to keep hidden from the world. For some of us, there are things that we've done maybe in some far-flung place in an inconvenient situation, and we've been able to keep it secret from the family, or we've been able to keep it hid from the brethren, or we've been able to keep it hid from our workmates, but the Lord knows, and even the deepest of our secrets shall be seen in the judgment day. Romans 2 and verse 16 says, "In that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." And so here's what I understand about the judgment day. The fact of the matter is, it's certain. It's going to happen. And every one of us shall stand before the Lord alone. And our lives shall be judged, even the secret things of our life. The judgment day is going to be a thorough accounting when we'll stand before the Lord and account for the life that we've lived. Notice the basis of our judgment. The scripture says we'll be judged by the words that we've used. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, he says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." The word idle here carries with it the idea of meaningless or worthlessness. You ever said something and somebody say, "Oh, honey, don't do that." And you say, "Well, I didn't mean it. I was just kidding. It really meant nothing to me." Well, the scripture teaches us we're going to stand account for the things that we say. Do you curse and swear and use profanity? Well, there's an accounting coming. Do you lie today? Are you dishonest with friends and family and members of the Lord's house? You'll account for that one day. Are you a gossip today who likes to spread tales, whether they be true or not? Well, there's a payday coming when you'll get to account for the things that you've said. No wonder the apostle writes in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Yes, the things that we say today need to be appropriate in every situation. We need to take thought in what we say and what we speak, for we'll meet those again. But then too, the Bible teaches us we'll account for the things we've done in this life. Revelation 20 and verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works." One day, we're going to be judged by what we have done here. And so let me ask you this afternoon, what have you done to further the cause of Christ? What have you done to help the church grow? I like the way our brother led his prayer and what he's had to say in asking the Lord to help us grow the church. What have you done to help the kingdom grow? What have you done to make this congregation better? What have you done to cause the church to continue to be spread in this community? What have you done to let your friends know about the kingdom? What have you done to let your family understand the truth of God's divine will? But then on the other hand, what have you done to hinder the cause? What have you done that slowed us down? What have you done that's holding us back? What have you done that's hindered the growth of the church? What have you done that's put us in a situation where the kingdom, instead of dwelling on growth and expansion, has had to stop and deal with issues and problems? What have you done that's kept the church from being what it could be and what it must be? Well, one of these days, we're going to account for that. One of these days we'll stand before the Lord and count for the deeds that we've done. Romans 2 and verse 5 says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." When your life is held up against the standard of God's word, how are you going to fare? Where are you going to stand? I suppose the greatest question of all is, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you become a Christian? That's the first question. You know, today, my friends, if a man has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, having his sins washed away, and ready then as a child of God to live and to serve the Lord here, he's not going to be ready to meet the Lord. That's not going to be a happy day. That's not going to be a great day. W.L. Thompson wrote those long years ago and said, "There's a great day coming by and by when the saints and sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a sad day coming by and by when the sinner shall hear his doom. Depart, I know you not. Are you ready for that day to come?" And that really is the question, isn't it? Are we ready tonight to meet the Lord in judgment? Are we ready to see the Lord coming again? I suppose there are people in this life who believe that maybe there'll be a second chance. There'll be another time, if you will. That if the Lord catches them in error, maybe somehow, some way, under a 1,000-year reign, they'll be able to make things right. Well, my friends, it doesn't work that way. When Jesus Christ shall return, then shall come the judgment day, ready or not.